Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirt and Sprague.
Dart under center, takes the snap, hands it for Scataboo, grinding forward toward the end zone. Scataboo is in! Touchdown, New York! Third one tonight for Scataboo, who does a cartwheel after the touchdown.
Andy Dirt Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
Corcoran delivers, swinging a ground ball back to the pitcher, knocks it down, picks it up, he throws home, and a run scores! He threw it away! He threw it right by everybody! Kim scores, and the Dodgers win it in 11, and they are on to the NLCS!
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right! 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader. 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network.
We gotta have the hype.
We gotta have a drop page work.
Oh yeah, come on, Russ. Come on. Oh, there we go.
Hey, look, you guys are lucky I don't wait.
God.
We got Brown PS. Brown PS.
Get out the shotgun.
We're going down.
Ready five. Set hot.
Let's go now. Let's have a game today, baby. Let's go. Let's go, fellas.
Let's
have a game today.
Let's go. Let's go.
Here we come! Here we come! It's a man's game now!
I like my boys happy. I like my boys happy.
Yes! Here we go!
Here we go. Let's go. Football Friday. Good morning.
Good Lord. You guys come out of the gate hot, don't you?
We're ready to go. Wake up over there, Russ. Jeez. We got a show to do. Jesus.
What do you do at 6 a.m.?
What is happening?
I usually sleep.
Yeah. You strike me as somebody that sleeps with their hand in their pants.
Oh, your hand in the pants sleeper. Are you a tummy sleeper, Rust?
Occasionally.
Yeah, I bet
you are a tummy sleeper.
Do you close the fridge with your hip?
I have heard this the last couple days.
You a two-handed Gatorade bottle opener?
It takes two hands to open up a Gatorade bottle?
How do you open a Gatorade bottle with one hand?
You ask your wife to open the pickle jar? Bet you do.
How do you squeeze this thing a little bit harder for me?
How do you open a Gatorade bottle with one hand?
It's pretty easy. You just hold it with one hand and then open it up. Yeah, you'd be a man is what you do.
Squeeze the damn bottle with your legs and grab that thing
open,
dude.
Some people just bite the cap off like a man would.
I bet you ask for a bottle opener for a beer.
You probably do. You probably put ketchup on your steak, don't you?
Oh, you do look like a ketchup steak guy.
God bless America. No. I do enjoy some A1 every now and then with my steak.
Because you don't know how to cook a steak.
Here we go.
Oh, God. If you have something that can make something taste better, wouldn't you use it?
It doesn't make it
doesn't
make
it. If you cook a steak, you don't need the sauce.
Nah,
right?
It's too early for this stuff.
Yeah. Good morning.
Hey. God, I hate you guys.
How you doing?
What is happening, everybody?
We can't tell you why Rust is in, because that would be a violation, as Josh Pate put it, of Swag's hippo violations.
Hippo, yeah, yes.
We can't talk about his hippo violations, but he's not here. Yeah.
But we're
the time
positive
being.
He's not here. Right. Hopefully there's no negative on Monday.
I gotta lie, I saw that text yesterday and I thought, that's still a thing? That's still going on? Okay, all right.
All I know is I am super fired up for 7 consecutive hours of sports talk radio.
You are the NFL red zone of fan producers
today.
Yeah,
you're Scott Hansen today.
7 hours of consecutive Jess Russ. Yeah, Jeff Russ starts now.
You guys have no idea of my catheter bag over here, do you?
That's disgusting. Oh, it's disgusting.
What do you think he does there?
I mean, need that vision right out of the gate.
Does he have his own private bathroom?
We've interviewed him once. He takes a bathroom break.
Yeah.
When you get the live play-by-play.
Yeah, for a couple of back-to-backs.
For like a minute and a half.
Yeah, that's when he's going
tinkle. That's him taking a piss, yeah.
Get the f*** out of here. That's him doing the Wayne.
He's got to go take a leak, dude. You got to be able to take a pee occasionally during 7 hours. Get up and use the bathroom, Russ. You sick bastard.
I'll be really with you. Honest with you guys. I pull him into the parking lot, and I'm like, is he going to be here? It's a roll of the dice with people doing this shift, and
I
immediately was told, yes, he was, because of the car he drives, which I would tell you, of every human in my life, every single one,
okay, that you know,
any person I've ever met, known, he is the least, he's the most car doesn't match who the person is of every single human being.
I tend to agree with you.
Who?
You.
Me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Of all the matching cars, it doesn't make any sense. Like, none at all. If you know anything about Jeff Rust, his political leanings.
No, I don't drive a Subaru.
His stances on life. No, he does not drive an electric Subaru that's fueled by coconut oil.
Contrary to everything we just said in the opening about who you are and what you do.
His truck would indicate that he's not a tummy sleeper. That's what it would indicate. But sometimes those things can be misleading.
It's only for a few minutes at a time.
He's driving like a semi-truck into this thing, dude. He's pulling in. It takes like $847 every 2 weeks to fill up his gas tank. That's how big his truck
not
is.
Not when I get a dollar off a gallon at Fred Meyer.
Jeff Rust, he's got truck nuts on the back of his truck, dude. It does not match at all.
I think the proper phrasing when you're on your tummy there, though, is not stretch, it's blow your back out. But okay. I digress. That's a different conversation.
It's like we had a while back, somebody asked us on the firm, they said, so here's the deal. You got unlimited resources. You have all the money you could ever want. You live in the greatest place ever. You don't have to worry about anything. You look like Jason Momoa, but twice a year, you have 30 seconds notice before you S your pants. And they're like, and he was like, do you take it? And I said, I don't know. Depends.
That's the easiest yes of all time. I could run away from anything and everybody and crap my pants.
Right in the middle of the show. You go home. What do you do?
Dude, you're the richest
Depends.
Person. You have a butler following you at all times.
Just at all
clothes.
Times. Yeah, that's
you're
true.
Good.
Just come wipe me up real quick here.
That's easy.
Thank you for that. Now I'm all ready to go.
I've noticed you guys have two mail sack segments now on your show.
Yeah, but you just call segments?
Them. What do you call them? Like 50 toes down?
There's show, 10 show toes down. Here? There's 10 toes down. That is now Thursdays at 12:15, and we have a free consultation.
Free consultations. You
Tuesdays.
Know what else they're creating?
You're going to start meringuing the line? Are we going to get a
they
meringuing
are.
The line
they
on Friday?
They announced yesterday they're starting to do a gambling weekly
on.
Segment.
Come look, on. Trademark here, Russ.
Look,
you're going to hear from our attorneys.
All I do is push buttons. and create opens.
What's your 11 a.m. hour called? The dive spot? Since you can't call it the club.
Again, I'm not the creative force. Oh, well, behind that. I just make the opens and push buttons.
Radio copies each other all the time.
Exactly.
They do. It actually might end up being, I'm very happy that Swag's not here today because he would have been insufferable on the way his baseball team won yesterday. So thank God he's not here. I didn't want to have to hear him talk about that.
Are they
that.
Still his team? He didn't give up on them
no,
like the Cowboys?
They win.
No, he has. Yeah, they
Except
win.
Except for his bullpen.
Yeah. Well,
they still won the World Series.
Know, so. They're going to probably win it again this year.
How many runs they give up last night, that bullpen?
A lot. It was a high scoring game. Game yesterday. That bullpen
terrible.
Was
they
very leaky and untrustworthy.
Can't record an out to save their lives, that yes. bullpen.
And if you do want some fun entertainment later today, speaking of the fan, you will get Jordan Schultz producing primetime in the middle of the Mariner game. And I might tune into that. If there's, I don't know what the delay is on our YouTube, like how long the delay
is. It's about a 30-second. I look at it.
Is that what it is?
Because you have it up. I don't.
Yeah, I like to keep an eye on the chat, see what people are saying.
And it looks, people always think I'm looking at my laptop. Like I had people suggesting I watch myself, which is a very weird thing to think I'm doing.
Oh.
But from time to time when I'm looking at you talk,
yeah, hey everyone,
I catch the YouTube.
You see it over here. It's
come
about
and
30
see how
seconds.
Good I look.
Hey, come check me out, man. Got a haircut. So you can, I don't know what the difference would be like watching a baseball game on TV and what that delay would be, but it would be nice if you could have the game on with the live stream of primetime, because then if you could see like something bad happen, then have the wherewithal to then glance down and watch the reaction of Jordan.
Well, and we've all heard the sound of Jordan and his
yes.
meltdown the other day.
Live on air with you.
And I noted that. Basically my TV in here is about 10 seconds behind what he was watching.
Yeah, everybody's a little bit different. Everybody's goes in at a different pace, but him freaking out during the game was pretty good.
Yeah, once upon a time, like way back in the day of the fan, Dirt was a fill-in producer / night host with me.
Yeah.
And his Giants were down 2-0 in one of these best of fives.
Playing the Reds, yeah, lost the first two games at home.
Playing the Reds, he was down, he was out.
Hashtag right where we want him.
He didn't quite give up, and so Primetime knew he was a Giants fan. And so in the pivotal game five, Primetime wanted to do the bit of, let's sneak a recorder in a producing studio and get Dirt's live reaction to the stuff, which the problem with that was twofold. One, the visual of a fan freaking out
way better
is infinitely better than the audio of a fan freaking out.
Yeah. Yes.
And somebody leaked to Dirt that there was going to be a recorder, so then it became Dirt.
I caught Dusty, yeah. He tried to, because I was in the old production studio running the game on 910.
Yeah.
And so I was sitting in there, and he just randomly walked in. And for anybody, to paint the picture for you, it's like a 5x5 jail
it's a closet, basically.
So if anybody walks into the room, you know that somebody walked into the room.
And he's setting it down, and the red light is on.
In the ninth inning, he's sits down and I'm like, what are you doing in here? What is this? You're not fooling anybody right now. Now I know I'm being recorded. This is, you're not sneaking one past my goalie. I know what's going on here.
And Dirt tried, but you could kind of tell that Dirt was exaggerating a little bit.
Yeah.
For the radio part.
Now I'm thinking about not sounding like an idiot watching my team play because this is going to be played on primetime.
But I think this one would be a little better because we'll get the visual of Schultze who...
Yes.
I know you guys think that it's a bit. It just really isn't. He literally wears Mariner gear every day of his life.
Every day.
At least one item.
Remember on the show Monday or Tuesday, I forget at this point, but whatever the game was where the fan was caught crying that they were leading in game one of the LDS, and I said, I respect your fandom. Yes. Also, don't understand how you can be that level. Schultze literally told somebody in our office he almost cried too.
Yeah. After game two or after game four?
After the game one.
Oh, after the game
Wasn't
one.
Wasn't it the game one? Or no, they lost
game one and then came back and won game two.
So it was game two, the comeback, or not the comeback, but they took the lead.
Yes.
Schultze also admitted he almost cried. So it's like authentic. Who he is, this Mariner fandom.
Well, I almost feel like on primetime today on YouTube, we just need, like, you don't even need the cameras on Isaac and Sue. Just have the solo camera on Schultze the entire time. Like, Nanny Cam, Truman Show, that's all people want to see.
Well, let's not forget what started some of these true on-air fan reactions. Returning on.
Was that Rob during a Kansas game?
That's Rob during a Kansas game.
Breaking something as this Jayhawks lose again in the NCAA.
I mean,
tournament.
Look, our fandoms have been.
Oh, they're great.
I did do a show live on air while the Beavers made their first NCAA tournament return at Buffalo
you
Wild
did,
Wings.
You did, yes.
That was terrible.
And they lost their first game.
VCU.
VCU, man. Yeah. You can't. Shaka's going
to
get you.
Yeah, everybody kind of has to go through this.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny now because he's going to be on camera, so you'll at least get to see his reaction if the M's end up choking this one away.
How many times do they toss it to break and just nothing gets played because he's locked in the middle of an at-bat? There's a runner on third, two outs.
Well, or
Schultze,
it's like,
Schultze, we're going to break. Oh, sorry.
Or he's on the floor like George Costanza after he ran into Jerry's apartment going, Vandalay! Vandalay!
Pants down.
What is happening right now?
And you want to be my latex salesman. Man,
can't trust that guy, dude.
So we have, obviously we have Jeff Rustin for Swag today. We'll see if Swag is going to be back on Monday.
Oh, God,
I want to remind you. Yeah, you might be here Monday, dude. I want to remind you, we are John Stockton
or
Michael Jeffrey Jordan amount of days away from the Trailblazers tipping off their season.
Look at you.
Did you know this?
No, I did not know this.
So we are 12 days away. John Stockton is probably the all-time 12, right?
When did MJ wear number 12?
He had a game against Orlando.
Okay.
Where he...
I remember 45.
Yeah, he had a... I forget what the... I have the story up here. He had to rock it. It was 1990. They played Orlando, and they were looking to snap out of a slump. The game got off to an unexpected start because somebody for the Bulls, or somebody around the Bulls, stole Jordan's jersey the day of the game.
Uh-oh.
So all they had... was the number 12.
So we got one extra left, MJ. Here you go.
So Jordan had to wear the number 12 for one game in 1990 against Orlando.
Did he cook in the one game? Do we know what the stat line was? Was it a good MJ game?
Is it a
legendary performance? I bet that's a collector's item to find a jersey like that.
Well, whoever has that 23, that is an all-time like, dude,
whoever
I stole this.
That was me.
He only scored 49 points on 21 of 43 shooting.
Not my goat, dude. Not my goat. Guy's garbage.
They won 135.
Couldn't hang in the modern NBA.
Oh, Orlando won 135. 129.
Oh, it's an L. It's an L. He couldn't even win the game. Not clutch.
So John Stockton days away. Look, it's a loaded football Friday, and it's a bit of a weird start for us as a show. We like to ease in, and we'd start with Thursday football and baseball. We have a guest.
We do, right out of the gate.
Longtime play-by-play man Don Fisher for Indiana is about to hop on the line.
We had him on last year. Is he either for the Notre Dame playoff game or for the Ohio State game? I can't remember. But
It was the Ohio State game because we were like, yo, man, this is crazy what's happening. He's like, I've never seen it before.
Yeah, this is wild. I used to be excited for basketball, and now we're a football school.
And so Don Fisher is going to join us at 6:15.
Right out of the gate. Let's go.
So we'll get right to him, and then we'll get it going a little bit here on a football Friday. The voice of Indiana football is the Hoosiers are in town to play the Ducks. Don Fisher will join us. We have a very early, the earliest Daily Ticker edition next on 105.1 The Fan.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is brought to you by Pelican Brewing, independently brewing on the Oregon coast since 1996. Discover even more flavors from your local coast with Pelican's new craft sodas. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
Indeed. Feels a little weird. I got to be honest with you, Dirt. It's never been this early.
Early ticker, but when you're playing a top 10 undefeated team in the country, you move around a little bit.
When it's a football Friday, you got to Omaha right. Your ass into whatever works for
hot
anybody.
Route, hot route!
Daily Ticker brought to you by Pelican Brewing Company. 4 coastal locations, Pacific City, Tillamook, Lincoln City, Cannon Beach, and guess what? Coming soon to a beach near you, Rockaway Beach location, Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. And this one is a unique one because we talked to him last year. Indiana popped out of nowhere for everybody and was like, they kept winning. And so we got to talk with the legendary, longtime voice, Indiana Sports, Don Fisher, joining us here for early edition of the Daily Ticker. Don, good morning. Thank you so much for being flexible and hopping on. I do want to ask, you naturally just wake up this early, and are you a big breakfast guy, or are you an ease your way into the day before you eat guy?
Well, generally, I don't eat breakfast until about noon. So I get up around 7 o'clock in the morning, most mornings, and I'll probably get up a little earlier tomorrow because I think this is going to be something special in Eugene, Oregon, no question about it.
Well, I want to ask kind of the fan and a question about, you know, we've gone through this with Oregon, watching them go to Big Ten venues, and we just had the wideout experience a couple of weeks ago, and they played at Wisconsin for the jump around and the big house and all that. Where does this one rank for Indiana fan of get? Now, they have played here before, but it was a long, long time ago. I was in high school, and I was at the game, and I remember it vividly because it was a disastrous loss for Oregon. How many Indiana fans are excited and making this trip out to check out Eugene for the first time?
Well, I think I could think quite a few. I've got 4 sons, and one of them, along with his daughter and some friends, are all coming out there to Eugene. They've made a long trip. My son lives in Indianapolis. I live in Indianapolis, so I'm flying out. He's driving out. Ooh. It'll be interesting.
Don, are the Hoosiers better this year? Because there's a lot of metrics people are pointing to. They certainly look the part against Illinois, and so it's still hard to gauge, I think, out here for us because Oregon's been pretty consistently hovering in this top-tier upper echelon kind of level for a while. Indiana's a little new to the scene, as we talked about last year. Do you think this year's Hoosiers team is better than last year's team?
I think it has the chance to be better. I just don't know if they are at this point. Obviously, the Iowa ball game a couple of weeks ago was big in that Indiana hung in there and won the ball game against a very physical, tough, difficult team to play against in their facility, Kinnick Stadium. They were able to hang in there and finally find a way to win it, but it wasn't a perfect performance by any stretch, and Kurt Cigetti was not pleased a little bit with his offense. They struggled a bit in that contest, more so than they have in some time. So I think the big question mark on this football team is, are they as good as they've looked thus far in the sense of the number of points they're putting on the scoreboard? The defense, I think, has really played better than I anticipated they would this year. I think that's because we lost a couple of key guys in C.J. West and James Carpenter, who were keys on the defensive line last year. Those guys, along with a couple of others that graduated, Jalen Walker, a really good linebacker, those guys were gone. They've been resupplanted with some new faces out there, and those guys have played pretty well. But to this degree, Indiana hasn't played a team like Oregon thus far, a team that has as explosive of offense as they do, as the Ducks have, and vice versa with the defense that it seems like Oregon's always really good defensively. And this Indiana football team, I think, is really good. I just don't – I can't judge whether they're better than they were a year ago. I can tell you that the quarterback, Fernando Mendoza, has been spot on through most of his ball games so far this year. I know you guys have seen him before with California. And I think last year he was really under the gun with – I think he was sacked 47 times or something like that. And when Indiana got him in the spring, I kind of saw a little happy feet, if you know what I mean, because I think he was still a little gun-shy, didn't have a very good offensive line in front of him. But this offensive line for Indiana has done a great job of protecting him. He's gotten more comfortable. And I think they've got a great receiving core. They've got good running backs, a couple of transfers that came in and have really done a nice job. But the key here right now, I think, is going to be on the defensive side. Can they hold on against an Oregon team that can put points on the board just about any time it seems like they want to or need to? And I think Indiana's got that same kind of explosive power as well. But they didn't show it against Iowa, and that's an interesting scenario that we'll have to take a look at as this game goes forward.
Yeah, we're talking with Indiana play-by-play guy Don Fisher. You mentioned Mendoza. We did get a chance to look. I think these two quarterbacks are very comparable, right, coming from UCLA and Cal, transferring, looking different at their previous stop to where they are now, and now maybe in the mix to be the top two quarterbacks selected in the NFL draft, which is wild. You would have said it a year and a half ago. When he came into town, was that the thought of he could be that good or that respected? And then how different does the offense look with him at the helm as opposed to how it looked last year?
Well, now I'll take that question first, because I think that there hasn't been much of a change there. Curtis Rourke was Indiana's quarterback a year ago. He was phenomenal and one of the best I've ever seen at making the right decisions in the heat of battle, knowing exactly where to go with the football. He was terrific in that vein and had a great accurate arm. Fernando has got a better arm, and he's probably definitely is much more mobile than what Curtis was. Curtis was playing on half of an ACL tear, which made him very immobile, so to speak. Fernando is very fast. When he gets out in the open, he can flat run. We haven't seen a ton of that so far from him. He hasn't had to do a lot of that, but he's capable. And so I think from a pure talent standpoint, Fernando might be a little bit better than Curtis was, but Curtis was phenomenal with his mind and how he went about his business. Very calm out there. And I right now, again, we're still up in the air. There's still question marks about where Indiana's at this point. But I think their running game, I think the way the defense has played thus far, gives them a great chance in this matchup.
We may have asked this to you last year, Don, and I know the history of all of it, but when you have the surprise season that kind of captivates the country of like, oh my God, look at this little program that normally, to be honest with you, Don, I mean, no disrespect, Indiana used to come on my TV at 9 a.m. on ESPN, and I just didn't want to watch that game. It was never interesting to me. It was like, the basketball school's playing football. It's only the second year of Cignetti, but the success last year and the start to this year with a big game potentially on the horizon for them and what they can do this weekend, how has it shifted a lot quicker or more than maybe we expect of, I know basketball's big there, but there hasn't been a ton of basketball success since like 2015-16 with Cignetti and what it looks like now in the football side of things?
Well, let's put it this way. If there was ever a chance for Indiana to have both sports really good at the same time, it is right now. We have a new basketball coach that's come in, Darren DeVries. I think he is terrific, and I went to Puerto Rico with the team in their summer trip and watched them play in Puerto Rico against a Serbian team that was really good, I think a team that could have competed in the Big Ten. I was really impressed with what I saw, and not a single player from last year outside of two walk-ons is back for Indiana. They had to go to the transfer portal, and yet this guy's team fought their butts off, played really hard, played what I would call Indiana basketball, and I think I'm qualified to say that because I saw a lot of basketball for the last 53 years at Indiana under Bob Knight and some other guys. So all I can tell you is there's an electricity about Indiana right now from an athletic standpoint because of football and basketball, And I do think that this program has turned the corner as far as having both sports being really good at the same time.
Yeah, I'm curious to ask you, you know, a lot of people this week are leaning towards taking Indiana, at least with the point spread. I think the number has come down. It's about around a touchdown, and people think it's going to be a one-possession game. We saw Indiana in two of these kind of matchups last year. They blew everybody out, and then they would go against teams that were, you know, championship-caliber rosters in Ohio State and Notre Dame, and it just a little overmatched at the offensive line and, you know, right. The line. Of scrimmage and that kind of stuff. How big is a I don't want to do the moral victory thing before the game even kicks off, but just if this game is competitive and comes down to the final possession, how much confidence does that breed to the fan base, to the locker room, to the coaching staff of, hey, we can hang with anybody in the country and being excited about where the rest of the season is going to go?
Well, and look, last year's schedule for Indiana played into their hands. There's no question they did not play the schedule that some of the other Big Ten teams did. And they were able to take advantage of that. But at the same time, they went into this year, and a lot of people thought they wouldn't be as good as they were a year ago. Yep. And they went and took apart a team that was ranked eighth and ninth in the country at the time, Illinois, and destroyed them. So all I can tell you is I think Indiana can be competitive with anybody they play with. But can they get over the hump against a team like Oregon, a team like Ohio State, those kinds of ball clubs? If they could win one of the games this year, because they play both Oregon and Penn State on the road, Penn State looks a little bit less like they like we thought they were going to be after last week, but that's still kind of the mark that everybody at Indiana is trying to see if Indiana's gotten to that point yet. I've said all along, guys, that I think Indiana can beat anybody, and because of Kurt Cignetti and his coaching staff, because these guys are really good, just like your staff with Lanning and their rest are really good. The question now is, can Indiana get over the hump against one of the better teams in the country? And the Oregon Ducks are that next test.
That's going to do it football-wise. I just got a couple personal questions for you, Don. You have to use your voice to paint the picture for the crowd that can't get to Autzen or maybe has to drive around for a shift. We famously have a guest here locally. When we get him on in the morning, it's so early for him that he usually joins us live from the toilet. Is Don Fisher in his bed on the phone?
Oh,
or
yeah.
Is he fully dressed, ready to get his day going?
Guys, you guys got to understand it's 9:30 here.
Yeah, so touche.
I've been up for a while.
Okay,
yeah, I've been up for a while. I've been on the toilet, but it was a long time ago.
Okay, that's good to know. Thank you for clarifying. And are you a sheets tucked or no tucked? Because it's the one thing about hotels I hate is how tucked the sheets are. I hate having to use all my muscles to untuck the sheets.
Yeah, trust me, I'm the same way. I hate the tidy whitey sheets in hotels.
Amen.
They're terrible.
They are. They're absolutely terrible.
Do you remember the 2000? I think it was 2004. Do you remember that trip out to Autzen?
I do. 7 turnovers, 5 in the first half by the Oregon Ducks. Indiana won big time. Oh, Jerry DiNardo was the coach then. He only lasted 3 years at Indiana. He got fired after that season.
Okay, Don, help us with this then, because I think Indiana ended up winning like one or none more games after that. Who was more shocked
that
day,
right.
Don Fisher or Duck fans?
Ooh.
All I can tell you is that Indiana winning that ball game did not detract from the administration and the athletic director. It did not, because the athletic director at that time was Rick Greenspan. He was brand new to the program that year, and he never got a good vibe from Coach DiNardo, so he was gone before the thing ever started.
Damn.
So good.
Win at Autzen, and you're still
tough,
fired.
Yeah, you're right. You're still out of here, man.
That's tough. Longtime voice, our good friend Don Fisher, getting ready for the call. He's got his pants on. He's ready to go on a football Friday, and have a great call tomorrow. Enjoy the game. Hopefully it's a close one, a great one. Enjoy the atmosphere, and thanks so much for being flexible with us this morning. We appreciate it.
No problem, guys. Appreciate you having me.
Thanks. All right, there we go. Don Fisher, longtime legendary voice, a good friend of this program now for 2 years.
50-plus years calling Indiana sports.
My guy's living the dream.
He's the kind of guy that when this stuff comes up, you're really happy for. Like, imagine
100%.
How many bad football games that guy had to call.
Right.
Just year after year after year, showing up, pretending to be excited. Let's get to the pregame show, and we're 2-9 again this year. Like, that guy's living the dream right now.
Good stuff from Don Fisher there. We'll bring back some of those cuts in the final hour of the program. We had a top 10 matchup at Autzen. That's the Daily Ticker, and it's brought to you by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach. All right, let's get it going. We start again next. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 The Fan.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Look, it's a big Friday. It's a football Friday and a baseball Friday for our friends up north in the city of Seattle.
What's that Husky game attendance going to look like? Game at the same time? I don't blame anybody for wanting to go to the M's game. It's a Friday night against Rutgers.
I mean,
game five of the ALDS with a trip to the ALCS on the line.
I don't know.
Like, compare that to, like, if we had a Blazer. Yeah. Like, that would be, like, change the NBA calendar, and there's, like, a Game 7 second round of the playoffs to go to the Western Conference Finals, and Oregon is playing Rutgers at Autzen on a Friday night.
I actually think Autzen's still packed.
You think it is? Well, I mean, it's a little bit different because it's different cities basketball. And 2 hours away. I know, but it's different when it's your team. Like, I agree with that point.
Yeah, that's true.
But, like, if you had a home Game 7 of the NBA playoffs, trip to the Conference Finals on the line?
We'll get to that today. We will Sprague the Line, so get the Sprague the Line sponsors into the fan text line, 503-864-6326. I also, we'll talk about Oregon, Indiana, but I'm going to do it in the most fun possible way, specifically for Dirt.
Oh, just for me, huh?
Built exactly for you.
Nobody's given us a chance. Everybody's counting us out. Indiana, trendy pick.
Okay.
Oregon's not good anymore. No quality wins.
Okay.
They suck.
All right. I don't know if that's really the narrative, but okay. You can run with that and do whatever you need to do.
That's what I'm hearing in my head right now.
I'm sure
that's what the people are saying right now.
On a football Friday, it's not very often that we go, hey, a pretty good NFC team has looked clunky all year and they just lost to not very good Giant team. It's not very often we don't talk about that, and instead we talk about what the hell was that Phillies pitcher doing?
Dude, what are we doing here? That's day one of spring training stuff. PFPs, dude. You field your ground balls, you throw it to first base. That's all they do for a month in spring training.
I hate the Phillies. Let me just get in the front end of that. And by the way, their hat is sweet on that uni. I just don't like the blue with that maroon color.
You stick with the take. It's all right.
Oh, no, I love the baby blues.
Yeah. Well, it came out when you were... alive. That came out before I was alive.
Yeah.
You're like 85 years old.
Look, hey, I will have you know that as far as the fan personalities go, I believe I am the third oldest here behind Swag and Rop.
I think you have shag carpet in your house. Yeah. So it tells me everything I need to know. You like powder
definitely.
Blue uniforms.
You have a living room that goes down like two steps, don't you? Like a sunken down living room with like...
Actually, it's our family room that is three steps down.
Thank you. I knew you did.
The main floor.
Wish
by the way, this
carpet.
House was built in 1996.
You got lava lamps on your tables, don't you?
Oh, definitely.
No, my kid broke my lava lamp.
Yeah, you have a lava lamp. Yeah. You did have a lava lamp.
I did that I bought in college.
Now, that being said...
just like everybody else.
I hate the Phillies. Don't really care about the Dodgers. And LCS appearances in 13 years is remarkable. I actually found myself in the moment. I felt terrible for him.
How do you not?
It was a brain fart. He bobbled the ball. He kind of panicked.
He froze.
And it's that simple, man. And you lose and you're out. And maybe your roster's kind of half blown up this year. And the Dodgers are off to maybe go defend their crown. I actually felt for that guy. And I never root for the Phillies in any way.
Postseason losses that way are brutal to begin with. If you lose a game that you had a chance to get out of the inning and you just brain fart and malfunction for 5 seconds, your season comes to an end, it's devastating. It's even more devastating considering where they're at as an organization. Like this was, I don't know if it was it for them, but they're losing a ton, and I don't know how many guys they're going to be able to afford to keep around. Kyle Schwarber hit, 50 bombs this year in the National League?
Mm-hmm.
He's more than likely walking in free agency and signing somewhere else. So that's what made it hurt even more, is that it felt like the end of this run that we've seen for Philly. I'm not saying they're going to fall off a cliff, but I do think they're going to lose a decent amount of talent in the offseason. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. We've seen mistakes. We've seen blunders in big moments. That one is near the top of the list, dude. You got a ground ball right back to you. The bases are loaded. There's two outs. All you have to do is pick the ball up, throw it to first base.
And he even pointed. The catcher was pointing at first base.
Throw to first. That's all you have. You just pick it up, throw it 30 feet to your left, and you get out of the inning, and you go to the top of the 11th, and maybe you win the game. Maybe you go to a game five back at home. All the momentum is on your side. You're back in front of your crowd. We don't know what the alternate history would have been. to blow a game in that fashion. I was yelling at my television because I hate it's the Dodgers. I hate that they won that way. Their other run that they scored, by the way, was a bases-loaded walk. That's how they scored their two runs.
Yeah, their offense just disappeared yesterday.
I'm pretty sure Shohei Ohtani had money on the Phillies based on the way that he's playing, allegedly. and then to make it even dumber at the end of it, I was so livid that that dude got a walk-off interview. Andy Pages, you hit a ground ball, a broken back ground ball to the pitcher.
Andy Pages to some whites.
Can we not sit here and pretend as you've just hit like a double down the line to win the game and go to the NLCS? You hit a broken back ground ball, and we got to sit here and interview. What did you see there hitting that weak ground ball 40 feet in front of you?
I would argue.
Get like, out of here.
Pages, I want to get back on the clock here. Yeah. So I'm gonna do this.
Okay.
I have a question about that play, and I want to get to the other baseball dealings that aren't involving the Mariners, because we can get to that at some point in the show. We'll get into Football Friday, I promise. There's gonna be we already kind of have football, okay?
Yeah, we did football a little bit.
I have a question about that interview, or no, I have a question about that play, and then something to add to your interview comment.
Okay.
Because I kind of had a similar takeaway.
Like this guy with an interpreter doing an interview of like, you hit what?
Mookie was on base tonight. Yeah. I mean, literally anybody.
Anybody in their bullpen who was dominant against that Phillies lineup. Dave Roberts. Anybody other than the guy who hit a broken back ground ball.
So we'll get to that. And then how about the Cubbies last night? My guy, Matty Boyd?
Matty Boyd with a big game. Still remains the one series that I think I've watched a total of like, I think my time for four games is probably up to like 16 minutes.
That's okay. Way to be honest. I'm not mad at that.
Just the where it's fallen in the sports calendar on the days, I just, you know.
So let's get to those dealings, and then we'll jump into some Oregon-Indiana stuff at the top of the hour. And one way to really make my co-host happy about this game specifically. So we'll get to that. Dirt and Sprague back with more on 105.1 The Fan.
Swag's your daddy.
All right, welcome back in. A delightful little Football Friday. The brand man's in. Jeff Rust is hanging out. Dirt's here.
Yeah, I am here.
Hello. Absolutely.
He's at home, probably enjoying coffee, doing nothing.
Yeah, I hope he's sleeping. That guy sleeps like 4 hours a week. So if you're missing a Friday show, you better be catching up on sleep sweat.
Yeah.
Every day. So a follow-up here on this Phillies-Dodgers ending, which is pretty wild. Like, dude, if you're a Philly fan, it was tough for you yesterday. Your football team looked embarrassing, and your baseball team choked.
Ooh, buddy. That is the second time in the history of sports that one city has experienced a Major League Baseball, NFL, and NHL loss all in the same day.
Oh, the Flyers lost?
The Flyers also lost yesterday. The only other time it's happened, I believe, was in 1983, and you guessed it, it was Philadelphia. They have now done it twice. Hmm. No other city has had that happen to them.
So here's my follow-up, okay? And I know you're going to respond with some kind of measured response. Having stopped playing baseball after a certain point in my life.
Yes.
I watched that replay because I went and rewound. I just kept rewinding and watching this. And
How did it happen?
Well, here's my question. I kind of get it. The balls hit at you. It's a weird hop. You bobble it. Like, oh my God, I gotta make a play.
Everybody's probably yelling at you on the field.
I actually kind of understand the reason he threw where he threw instead of doing the logical thing he's trained to do. Like
throw it first.
Yeah. He's a pitcher, correct?
Yes, he is.
Does he throw in a little box to try to get guys out?
Yes, he does.
How did he not be able to make that throw? He's 7 feet away.
Yeah, just right there. Boom.
And he threw it like 80 feet to the right.
Yeah, I mean, if it's an accurate throw, maybe they have a chance to get him out.
Oh, I think they're out. Yeah. I think the catcher's catching it. It's a stand-up out. I think that's no-brainer. His throw was so bad that the guy was allowed to miss touching home.
Go back
and touch home again. I just kept rewatching going, I can't believe that those guys can throw the way they throw so precisely.
Yes.
But those throws are difficult for them.
It is really funny how it works that way. When you don't go through the normal windup and you're not coming off of a mound, I think you also add in the pressure of the moment, right? And so you have all this stuff. Your internal clock is so sped up by the time. Because I think if he fields it properly the first time it's hit at him, I think he calmly picks it up and throws it to first base. I think the second you had the bobble go on there, where you kind of fumbled it a little bit, that's when all of a sudden your clock gets sped up and you just panic. And it's a panic throw. You don't put the full release on it. And next thing you know, you short arm it, you know, 18 feet over the catcher's head.
That's crazy.
And it's game over. It just, that'll go down in history of a way to lose. Like, if the Dodgers go on to win the World Series, I think that adds another layer of this of like, oh my God, that's how they got out of the first round.
Yeah.
But not often do you see an error to that level end a game. Like, there's big errors and there's mistakes. Like, Aaron Judge dropping a pop-up in the World Series last year was a big play that allowed some runs to score. It didn't end the World Series. It wasn't like it was the bottom of the ninth inning in a tie game and he right. dropped a fly ball, winning run scores, series is over, the Dodgers win. So errors like that happen. To have a game like that, though, where it's a pivotal elimination game and that's the way that it ends, just brutal, dude.
I know Pajes probably shouldn't have been the interviewer. I would argue Shahadi had the tougher job there of, like,
doing the interpreter thing.
No,
trying to ask, like,
why is she interviewing him? So she has to do the stupid question. She, like, has to put herself in a dumb position of, what were you trying to do there? Yeah, bad. Even though it's like a routine grounder to a pitcher that, you know, any other time it's probably just picked up and thrown out and it's an easy out. But
yeah, the answer is I was trying to not get sawed off and hit a ground ball right back to the pitcher. And thankfully, he made one of the worst mistakes we've seen in a long time in the postseason.
I think she was actually put in a very bad position having to interview him because of that situation.
Yeah, it's awkward and uncomfortable.
So I will defend Shahadi there. The Cubs Brewers are going to game five.
As
you've said, you largely haven't watched this series.
Yeah, yesterday was tough too because you had the Dodger game go long. And then by the time that I had flipped off Thursday night football after they ran four straight tush pushes, and I had to boycott the game for like 15 minutes of like, I need a mental break from this because I'm going to start yelling stuff in my house and that's not healthy for my child. So I took a mental break from Thursday night football, watched the end of the Dodger game. And then by the time that was done, I flipped back over to Thursday night football and the Cubs game was like 6-0.
Great night for my guy, Matty Boyd, former Beaver, who's had a remarkable career, one of the most underrated Oregon State baseball professional careers in the program's history. He gave up no runs. He got a three-run cushion pretty early with an Ian Happ homer. And a series that I think everybody's probably been wrong on is that the Cubbies have pushed this to five now. And that Brewer, oh my God, we always choke. And now we may have choked a 2-0 lead when 90% of the time these teams win the series. That is a real thing.
Uh-oh.
And I think the execs are absolutely cheering like hell for a Cubs-Dodgers LCS for TV ratings.
Dude, it'd be glorious. They played. They were head-to-head in the NLCS in 2016 when the Cubs won the World Series. I remember that series vividly. The executives would love it, especially considering the winner of the Mariner-Tiger series just doesn't bring a lot of juice. Like, there's not a lot of juice on the AL side in terms of major markets. Don't get offended by that. That's just the way professional sports work. The NL having the Dodgers and Cubs would be great for them. The Dodgers being in it is good nonetheless because that should give you a nice little ratings boost. The pucker factor in Milwaukee's got to be to the just a 10 out of 10, dude. They can't get out of the first inning.
In the first inning, they've been behind every time.
Every time in the first inning, they're giving up runs. It is the wildest thing four games in. It didn't hurt them in the first two games. They ended up blowing them out, and they were fine.
Right.
Game three was close and competitive, and they found their way back into it, and it wasn't massive. But then last night, it's a three-run bomb in the first inning. You're like, oh, my God, it happened again. And so that'll be the biggest thing to watch in game five, which will be on Saturday. That's going to get lost in the shuffle probably again because you're going head-to-head against college football. But just let's try not give up a three-run bomb in the top of the first inning, Milwaukee. How about we start there and then try and win? I'm rooting like hell for him. I want the Brewers to get to the NLCS.
I was just happy my guy Matty Boyd had a night.
Yeah, dude, that was awesome. The interview that he did about his grandfather growing up a Cubs fan, really cool stuff, emotional stuff. Really happy for him yesterday.
Let's get the Brewers and Mariners in the World Series there, a little old Seattle matchup, because the Brewers were the Seattle Pilots in 1970 before Bud Selig yanked him out of there.
Yes, he did.
So we'll have to see what happens in the Game 5 in Seattle, now Game 5 in Milwaukee.
We got two of them, at least.
We do. Let's go back into football. We'll get to the Mariners today. We will get to some NFL dealings, and so we'll involve the Philadelphia Eagles losing by 17 to the Giants.
Ew, what was that?
That offense is... takes Saquon out, and I don't know what that offense
is. They got a top 5 quarterback, though. They'll be fine.
Bad pick. Good interception. Not a great throw.
Not a great throw.
So we'll get to that. Loaded second hour. Oregon-Indiana top 10 matchup. Hour number two during Sprague 105.1. The Fan.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.